Good morning. I'm grateful to see everyone here, especially to our visitors. You're more than welcome at any given time. I'd like to look at that song again that Derek just sung. Why did my Savior come to earth and to the humble go? Why did he choose a lowly birth? Because he loved me so. Why did he drink the bitter cup of sorrow, pain, and woe? Why on the cross be lifted up? Because he loved me so. Till Jesus comes again, I'll sing his praise, and then to glory go, and live with him through endless days, because he loved me so. As a servant of God, I am here to minister to you today God's word as it is written, and to remember the ultimate sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on the cross, that we might have hope of eternal life with him. In our adult class on Sundays, we have been talking about Jeremiah. I can't imagine how Jeremiah felt with an evil generation as it was during that day, and trying to minister to those folks and trying to turn them back to God. I can't imagine how God felt with those folks worshiping idols and not following his word. His anger had to be intense. That is the reason I want to talk to you about a certain lesson today. I had another one picked out, but I think this one is more appropriate. When will God say, enough is enough? Times are so much different than they were 20, 30 years ago. We live in a fast-paced world, supposedly too busy to serve God. We live in a world that is going in its own direction without God. We live in a world filled with sin, filled with evil, and filled with hatred. We live in a world that has turned its back on God. The world has become a servant to Satan rather than God. We live in a world that follows every whim of doctrine, like the chaff from the winds blowing in every direction of the wind that blows. We live in a world of false prophets and false teachers, believing in their lies and their direction on life, besides following the direction of God. God has given us signs from heaven that he is the one and only true God. He has shown us his mighty works, his power, and his strength. He has delivered us from the evil through his Son. He has given us his message from his prophets, from his ministers, and from his Son. He has shown us the way to eternal life. God will prevail. Thus his will be done. When will God say enough is enough? Will it be when man continues to dishonor, disrespect, ignore God's holy name, God's holy word? Will it be when man's every thoughts are on sin? evil and hatred, defiling God's wishes for man to be righteous? Will it be when false prophets, false teachers, teach doctrines contrary to what Jesus taught from his Father? Will it be when his people have suffered enough, when they have endured enough pain, sorrow, and persecution for their faith in God? Will it be when God decides to destroy the world once again for its continued disobedience, calling on Jesus to go to the earth once again and his angels to deliver the destruction? When will God say, enough is enough? Will enough be enough when man continues to dishonor, disrespect, ignore God's holy name, God's holy word? Is that our world today? I'm afraid it is. Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 15? If you love me, keep my commandments. Very simple. If you love me, keep my commandments. We dishonor, disrespect the Son of God when we do not keep the commandments. Thus, we also disrespect God the Father. John chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Jesus knew he was dishonored and disrespected by man, as he knows today. We can see the same in man's action today. I do not know what it is about man, but he continues to defile the will of God. John chapter 5, verse 41. John chapter 5, verse 41. Jesus said this, I do not receive honor from men. He knew that. Matthew chapter 15, verse 8. The people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Jesus knew this. Jesus knew their thoughts then, and he knows our thoughts now. But most important, he knows our hearts. We disrespect him, dishonor him, when we pretend on the outside to follow him, but our heart says different. Jesus knows this. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, Jesus knows this, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, We are on this earth to give God the glory, not ourselves. For we deserve death for our sins, but God shows His mercy and grace even though we sin. Not that He agrees with it, but He still shows us His mercy and grace even though we sin. When will God say, enough is enough? Has man got to the point where his every thought is on evil? Think about it. Think about the world we live in. Has it got to that point? I'm afraid we're getting pretty close. Does he prefer sin over good? Does it come natural for man to hate his neighbor, to covet his neighbor's possession, to kill, to steal, to go to every effort to gain what his neighbor owns? Has it got to that point? I'm afraid we're getting close. Do we not understand that God sees the things happening? When will He say, enough is enough? Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. He's given us a warning here. Remember, when God destroyed the earth by flood, man tends to forget or ignore God's power and His strength. Do we remember that? We should. The world should remember that. Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Is that our world today? It sure sounds like it. It's getting close. And the Lord was sorry that He had made man on the earth, and He was grieved in His heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Do we not remember Sodom and Gomorrah? Genesis chapter 19, verses 12 through 17. Genesis 19, verses 12 through 17. Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. Same will be for this earth. Then the man said to Lot, have you anyone else here? Son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, and whomever you have in the city, take them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law, who had married his daughters, and said, get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But to his sons-in-law, he seemed to be joking. Sounds like our world today. Do they think that the Lord is joking? When will be enough? When the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, arise, take your wife and your two daughters, who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city. And while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to him. And they brought him out and set him outside the city. So it came to pass, when they had brought them outside, that he said, escape for your life. Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed. Even though God has mercy and grace, it will come at a time when he will get fed up with man's sin. And he did with the world's evil and the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah. It's going to be that time when he says, enough is enough. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. These six things the Lord hates, yes, even seven, are an abomination to him. These are not the only things, but I want to bring it to your attention because he said he hates it. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift and running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. Does it not sound like our world today? Absolutely. And he's going to get enough of it. Of course, this is not all a man's sins, but these are specifically pointed out as sins that God hates. The earth will be destroyed by fire. We know that. We are told this, but refuse to acknowledge that God is almighty. He has the power and strength. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 and 8, 6 through 8. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God, and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus comes back, he's going to be taking vengeance on those who do not know God, and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It tells us that. When will this time come? It will come when God says, enough is enough. Is God fed up with false prophets, false teachers, teaching doctrines of men rather than teaching his word that he put in place for man to follow? Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, he warns us, you will know them by their fruits. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 14. Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 14. And the Lord said to me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I have not sent them, commanded them, nor spoken to them. They prophesy to you a false vision, divination, a worldly thing, and the deceit of their heart. The world lies. And we have to go back to the Word of God to test the spirits. We know Jeremiah was discouraged from the sins of the Israelites because they would not turn from their sins. Sounds like the world today. Wonder how God felt at this time. How does God feel today at this time? When man continues to defile his will, not listen to his word, ignore everything that he is trying to tell us, how does God feel? I cannot imagine. Matthew chapter 24, verses 24. Matthew chapter 24, verse 24. For false Christ and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. He knew this. Jesus knows this. False prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders to deceive. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who brought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. See, he knew this was going to happen. He knows it now. He knows our world. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit. This is what I was alluding to a while ago. Test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. There's many of them. God knows this. But we must test the spirits, and how we test the spirits is from the Word of God. God put His Word in place for a reason. It was put in place to fulfill His will, His wishes. His word was from the beginning, before man was created. Let me reiterate that. His word was from the beginning, before man was created. It stands to reason we should follow His word. Man oftentimes comes up with things that they think is right. We should follow God's word. If anything is not from above, not from God, it is not God. We should test the spirits. John chapter 1, verses 1, we know what he says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Let me say it again. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Same applies today. It has not changed. When will God get tired of false prophets, false teachers telling others lies? Will it be soon? When will He say enough is enough? Has God had enough of his people suffering, enduring pain, sorrow, and persecution? When will God say enough is enough? Matthew chapter 5, verse 10. Matthew chapter 5, verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteous' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Let me repeat that. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteous' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Matthew chapter 5, verse 12. Matthew chapter 5, verse 12. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. God knew that we would endure persecution. He knows that we have pain and sorrow. John chapter 15, verse 20. John chapter 15, verse 20. Remember the word that I say to you? A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. Let me repeat that. Remember the word that I say to you? A servant is not greater than his master. Remember Jesus' sacrifice? If they persecuted me, they did him, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. God gives us assurance. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Let me reread that. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. All this pain and sorrow and suffering on this earth, we're being trained for it. Or by it. John chapter 16, verse 20. John chapter 16, verse 20. Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. When will God say, enough is enough of his people being persecuted? When will that come? Will God say, enough is enough? Will it be when God decides to destroy the world once again for his continued disobedience? Calling on Jesus to go back to the earth. We know Jesus is coming back. and his angels to deliver destruction. We know that's going to happen. We've been told it. We've been warned of it. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15. It tells us of the curses on disobedience. But it shall come to pass, way back in Deuteronomy now, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. The children of Israel was told this long ago. The same applies for us today. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. It tells us there, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. The wrath of God will be on those who disobey. He's trying to warn us here in his word. He's trying to tell us. But the world will not listen. But someday they will. Because enough will be enough. Has the world really changed that much? Man has always defiled the will of God. Are we so naive to think that God does not know our sins? That God does not know what is happening on the earth that he created? Are we that naive? Jesus was asked about something similar to this. The signs of the times of the end of the age, which we even today should listen to. Matthew chapter 24, verses 3 through 14. Matthew chapter 24, verses 3 through 14. Let's see what he says here. The signs of the times of the end of the age is the question that he was asked. Now, as he said on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? I'm afraid the world today often ponders the same question. When will these things be coming? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. He's warning us of false prophets right there. For many will come in my name, he tells us, many, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. All the things that we are encountering in this world, the trials and tribulations, the pain and sorrows and the persecutions, God is not ready yet. He's warned us here, the end is not yet. For nation will rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. Does this not sound like our world today? And there will be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in various places, is it not? All these are the beginnings of sorrows, he says. They're the beginnings. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Is that not so? We see it today. and then many will be offended. We'll betray one another and we'll hate one another. Does that not sound like our world today? Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. It's today. And because lawlessness will abound, and love of many will grow cold, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. We've got to hang in there. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. It will come when God says enough is enough. And not until then. I think Jesus was warning us. These things will come to pass. Then the end will come. God knew man was sin. That is the reason he had the word from the beginning. That's the reason he put the word in place from the beginning. He knew that man would sin. That is the reason he sent Jesus, his only son, to the earth. He knew man would sin. He sent Jesus to sacrifice for our sins. Think about it. He didn't sin. He's God. That we would just have hope of eternal life through him. That we would have hope of salvation through him. That is the reason he sends his ministers out into the world then and out into the world today. He knows man will sin. But through his mercy and grace, he provides avenues for man to be saved. He did it from the beginning with his word, with Jesus Christ. He's telling us today through his ministers, the way to heaven is through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He also knows that some will not listen. Thus they will not have salvation. He knew from the beginning that there would be those that would not listen to him. And he knows now. Matthew chapter 7 verse 21. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of the Father in heaven. Let me read that again. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. The question is, when will God say, enough is enough? We don't know. It could be within the next hour, or it could be before this day ends. We don't know. But we need to be prepared for that day. And if you are not a Christian today, you're not prepared. You're not prepared. And you need to become a Christian. And if you have fallen away after you have become a Christian, you've gone back to the old man. You need to come back to Jesus. If you're subject to the invitation, come forward as we stand and sing.